Before I start, actually, Levard, I have a question that I do not have the answer to that I'm curious if you have the answer to by any chance. So this parsha pretty much goes on a swing back and forth between telling us kind of the story of Jewish history, that we're going to be close to Hashem, that when we do Averis, the punishment is going to come, but we're going to come back. And then if it happens again, we'll come back again. And this is supposed to be the consolation that Moshe gives to the people. But there's one pasuk which I don't understand, and here's my question. When it's talking about Hashem returning us, it says, "Im yiyah nidachacha b'ktzei hashamayim," if you're those that were pushed away from you are in the corners of the heaven, "misham yikabetzcha Hashem alekecho, misham yikachecha," from there Hashem will gather you in, and from there He will take you. Now it sounds like it's this great feat, right? Because the pasuk before that says, "V'shav Hashem lekecha shavuscha v'richamecha v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim," He'll gather you in from all the people, from all the nations. "Asher afitzcha Hashem lekecha shama," He's going to pull you in, even if they're far away in the heavens. Hashem will grab you from there. And we'll talk about it a little more soon, but this is in contrast to us saying, "Lei b'shamayim hi." Hashem's telling us this mitzvah is not in Shemayim for us. In contrast to that, Hashem is willing to go to Shemayim even to take back those pushed away Jews. My question is, Hashem is in Shemayim, so it's not a big deal for Hashem to go to Shemayim. It says, "Misham yikabetzcha Hashem lekecho, misham yikachecha." That's where Hashem exists. We know Hashem is here, and Hashem is there, and Hashem is truly everywhere, but outside of that, Hashem typically we know is in Shemayim. It says, "Min Hashemayim ishmalta kailecha," Hashem, you heard Hashem's voice from Shemayim. Why is the Torah making it a big deal that Hashem is going to gather Jews even from Shemayim? I'm just curious what that means. I'm not really sure. Okay, getting into the Parsha as a whole. I think to really understand Parshas Nitzavim, you have to understand it in context of a Medrash that Rashi quotes in the beginning of the Parsha. Rashi quotes a Medrash, which happens to be a Medrash Tanchuma, that says, why is this Parsha of Nitzavim right near the Teichacha? Because it says that the Jewish people had just heard the 98 curses of the Teichacha, and it says, "Hayriku Paneim," their faces turned green, or they just got really nervous, they were trembling in fear, they were pretty scared. Now, the Teichacha is pretty scary, just to read the words, but now you have to understand that this was they were hearing a prophecy from Moshe Rabbeinu, which, albeit his prophecy in Devarim is different than the rest. The Rambam says he was like a typical prophet. I'm sorry, the Ramban says he was like a typical prophet throughout Sefer Devarim, but prophesized words were experiential. It wasn't just the hearing words, you were actually experiencing it on some level. So it was a very terrifying experience, so understandably they were shaken up. So Moshe coming to appease them, to sort of calm them down, he says, "Listen, atam nitzavim hayayim, you guys are still standing here today. You guys did a lot of stuff wrong through the midbar, and Hashem didn't destroy you. You're still atam nitzavim hayayim, you're all still standing here." So if you look at the Medrash inside, it's Medrash Aleph in Parshas Nitzavim. It says that all of the people were very nervous, right? Like Rashi says. And the Medrash goes through in a little more detail. You guys made the Egel, and you complained about the Man, you complained about the Be'er, and you complained about a bunch of different things, and Hashem never destroyed you. But the Medrash goes on to say something really interesting, because that's all past looking, right? Why are the people who Moshe was talking to, why are they still standing here? You guys personally do not need to be scared, because you and your fathers made some mistakes and Hashem never destroyed you. But what about future looking? What sort of guarantee is there? They were more nervous for the future, that we're going to mess up. So just because Hashem didn't mess up in the past, didn't kill us for messing up in the past, what's going to change? What, you read the Sadiris? I mean, there's all different reasons why Hashem would maybe destroy a future generation. So the Medrash addresses that, and I think that's really exactly what Parshas Nitzavim is addressing. But the Medrash specifically addresses that. It says, "V'im taymar," and if you're going to ask me a question, "Mipnei ma ha-gayim nischayvu kalaya v'anu kayamin," right? Why are the gayim? Because it says that Hashem is going, in this week's parasha, it says that Hashem is going to put His wrath on the gayim and destroy them. And that was really, the Medrash says, that was the concern of the people, that Hashem is going to destroy us just like He's destroyed all the others, some of the other nations. It says that, "Lefisha b'shah shabana le'an yisurim," by gayim, when they get punishments, it says, "Mevatin b'hem," literally, I guess it means they kick the punishments, but they don't realize that Hashem is the source of the punishments. And it brings a pasuk to prove that. But it says, "Avo Yisrael, k'shei Yisurin ba'in aleihem, hei nechna'im nu mespalalin, And again, it brings a pasuk to prove that. But the Jews, whenever they get Yisurim, we understand that it's because of some failing of our own, and we daven to Hashem. Therefore, Hashem says, "Aval pisha klalis halalu ba'is aleichem." Even if you make a mistake, and these curses will come upon you, hein hein ma'amidei seschen. It's literally a cycle, because what happens is we do wrong, and then Hashem punishes us. But we use if and what the Medrash is saying is that really Jewish nature is to do this, to use the punishments that we get as an impetus to improve ourselves and to turn ourselves around and to see past the punishments as that Hashem is the source of the punishment. And I think that is a message to the entire future Jewish people, the entire future Klal Yisrael, that this is your nature, this is what you guys are set up to do, and this will always protect you. You will never, ever get completely destroyed because you'll heed to the warning of the punishments that you get. So I think the Parsha really as a whole addresses this, and I think that we could pull some really interesting messages and see exactly why it is that we're able to do that. Like, why are we different than the Goyim? Why are we able to see suffering as something from Hashem to improve? So, like I said earlier, the Parsha really goes back and forth. Moshe says, listen, you guys are all standing here, but if somebody makes a mistake, then the curses are going to come, and then you're going to return to Hashem like Hashem. Hashem is going to bring you back. And then the end of the pasuk is really a lot of powerful words, a lot of things that we're all familiar with. It says in a pretty famous pasuk, "Ki mitzvah hazayis," this mitzvah, which let's for now say it's talking about tshuva, because I think that's the pashut reading of the that's what Rashi says the pashut reading of the pasukim is. It's not covered from you, literally speaking, or it's not a wonder from you, and it's not far away. So those two, just to be clear, it's talking about two different types of distance, because rechaikahi is an actual physical distance, and niflesi, if something is either covered from you, it's not actually distant, but as far as you're concerned, subjectively speaking, it's different. If you can't see something because it's hidden in the ground, it could be right under your feet, but it doesn't matter. It's for all practical purposes, it could be in China. It doesn't make a difference. And then the Torah goes on. So now the Torah could have left it at that. I pretty much understand. You know, it's not far. It's not a different type of far. It could have said kibefichol v'avav chala asayisay and closed off the whole sentence. I'm saying that's really all it needed to do. But the Torah gets into very specific details. Leiba shemayim hi, it's not in shemayim, and then we're going to have to say, who's going to go up to shemayim and take it for us? V'yashmiyenu oisavena asena, and he's going to make us hear it, and we'll do it. V'le me'ever layam hi, it's not on the other side of a river, of a sea. Leimar mi'aver lanu v'lever yam mi'kachel lanu, who's going to go across this sea and get it for us? Again, v'yashmiyenu oisavena asena. It's very close to you. It is in your mouth and your heart to do it. So why the really, really explicit and vivid detail? It's not in heaven, because if it was, somebody would have to, we'd have to say, who's going to go up and get it for us? And Aver Layam, like, why those? Why didn't say Lemi Aver Hamidbar? Why didn't it say Lemi Tachas La'aretz? Like, why these two examples? And what does that have to, how does that transition so neatly into Vilficha uvilvav chala asaysay? So I think that it's fairly obvious, kind of sticks out in your face. We're going up to Shemayim and getting something. Was that ever, does that have any significance of somebody going up to Shemayim to get something? So obviously I'm talking about Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai to Shemayim to get the Torah, right? And then Lemi Aver Layamhi, also, did we ever cross a sea? You bet it, you absolutely. When we left Mitzrayim, we crossed the sea. That was when we were born as a nation. That was exactly how we came in. That was the birth of our nation. So these two are not just arbitrary or random examples. These are specifically geared to point us to the birth of our nation. Moshe is trying to sort of jog those memories, jog those national memories. And I think it goes even further because look at his choice of words. And he will make it heard to us and we will do it. Now those two verbs, hearing and doing. Any recollection? Yeah, that was our first national cry or call out to Hashem. Na'ase v'nishma, right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem wants to give you the Torah, and we said na'ase v'nishma. That was our big commitment to Hashem. So Moshe is literally referencing twice. You're not going to have to cross the Yamsuf again. You're not going to have to go up Har Sinai again. You're not going to have to say Na'aseh V'Nishma again. Why? Because you already said it. Your nation was already born. The Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, were already formed. They were already born. And therefore, you guys don't have to. Now, let's explain what that means. What that means is that when the Jewish people were born, there became an entity called Klal Yisrael. Now, that entity, the way I understand it, is we're a conglomerate nation of all souls that are Jewish from the beginning of history until now, or until Mashiach comes. Like, all of that is part of Klal Yisrael, which is exactly why Moshe is able to say in the beginning of the Parsha, he says, Ki es asher yeshnoi payimano oimed hayem lefnei Hashem, lekeinu ve'es asher einenu payimano hayem. Hashem is making a covenant, an agreement, with those that are here and those that are not here. How can you make a covenant with people that aren't here? The answer is, this covenant is made with Klal Yisrael. Part of Klal Yisrael are the people that are standing there, part of Klal Yisrael were their parents and grandparents, part of Klal Yisrael is me, you, every person who was brought up non-religious, every Tana, every Amira, every one of the Rishonim, every single person that was killed in the Holocaust, all of those people are part of Klal Yisrael. And you can't get out of it, right? I am no more Jewish than you, who's no more Jewish than Ravina was, who's no more Jewish than Rashi, who's no more Jewish than Bob Dylan, right? There is no, in terms of just our essential connection to Klal Yisrael, each person is just equal with that. That's Klal Yisrael, Yesh Lem Chelek Lelem Haba. Every single person has a Chelek, intrinsically, no matter of where they're born, what they act like, what they do, no matter anything. Now, I think that nation, that unit of Klal Yisrael that got set into effect when we crossed the Yarden, when we listened to Hashem to do that, not the Yarden, I'm sorry, when we crossed the Yam Suf, when we said Nasa V'Nishma, when we had Moshe go up to get us the Torah, all of those formative events, that set into motion Klal Yisrael. Because of that, you're part of Klal Yisrael, you now have that connection to Hashem. And because of that, it allows us to see suffering, not just in the context of, ooh, I'm in so much pain, in the context of, this is the Jewish condition. People talk about the human condition. There's such a thing as the Jewish condition. The Jewish condition is to know that your actions are extremely, extremely effective. We are all extremely powerful, and our actions really matter. And sometimes when people misact, they get punished. That's what happens. But the punishment is not some evil God up there throwing lightning bolts at you. It's a direct test or a reaction to your actions. And that allows us to see suffering and to see Hashem through the suffering, to see the source of the suffering. And that is specifically the reason, I think, why this parsha is coming to tell us that we're able to see suffering differently. This is what the Medrash is talking about. And this is what the Parsha, this is why when Moshe told them, the Parsha of Nitzavim, it calmed them down. Because yes, we have the Teichachan, it's horrible. You can't take away from that. But in light of the bigger picture, it's really just an up and down, part of the up and down of life. The same way if you look at a heartbeat, right? It's all an up and down. That's literally, life is about up and down. Because we're human and Hashem wants us to be human. And humans do good and then they do bad. And they do good and they do bad. That's how it goes. You have good days and bad days. So on the bad days, if it gets too bad, you have to get punished. And part of that is seeing Hashem through the punishment and seeing it as a positive in context of history and as a way to get closer to Hashem. And I think that the way it ends really neatly is that all of this was placed inside of us. Like I said, you can't take that Jewishness out of a Jew no matter what, which is why I think it says, it doesn't say biyadcha, which would be in something that's in your hand, is not inside of you. You're holding it. You have like a hold on the thing, but it's not part of you. Something that's in your mouth or in your heart is actually inside of you. Like, you're about to swallow it if it's in your mouth. And if it's in your heart, it's literally, I mean, your blood is in your heart. That's the only thing that's in your heart, physically speaking. Or emotionally, that's like one of the deepest things that's inside of you. So this doing tshuva, getting close to Hashem when you've fallen or when you're not in a good place or when you just want to get closer to Hashem, that is something that is so intrinsic and natural that the Torah chooses to use the words b'ficho v'vavcha, that it's literally inside of you and part of you. It's not just close to you, it is inside of you. And I think that the reason why it uses ficho v'vavcha is because our mouth is, our speech is what sets us aside from all the other species, or all the other animals in the world. Because that's how we express our intellect. So it's saying that it's intellectually a part of you, and bilvavcha, it's emotionally a part of you. It's passionately a part of you. It's attached to you on both of those levels, emotionally and intellectually. It's interesting to note, I heard this from Rabbi Akiva Tatz actually, but you can look it up online. The etymology of the word educate we know means to teach, but the word comes from a Latin word, educat or Kiri, I think is how it's pronounced, which means to lead out or to something that was led out. And the idea is that we think of education as teaching people things. That's not at all what education is. Education is when you see the person as someone who has things inside of them, and you lead that out of them. You allow them to express forth that which was already inside of them. You have to teach people. You have to teach people things, but in terms of how they use that knowledge and how they interact with it and how they become part of it, that's something that was already there. And the job of the teacher is to effectively pull that out of the kid or adult, whoever you're teaching. But I think this is how Moshe Rabbeinu came to help us realize that we don't have to be scared. And I think obviously the reason why this is before Rosh Hashanah is because we all have to know that we all have this part of us, and regardless of whether it was a good year, a bad year, a terrible year, a year that you feel was a complete failure, you are never, ever too far away to light that spark and come back to Hashem, because it's inside of you. It's b'ficho l'lavcha, it's there. It's just a matter of pulling it out. Have a good Shabbos, and if I don't send any more Divrei Torah before Rosh Hashanah, have a ksiva v'chasima teva. Even if I do have a ksiva v'chasima teva.